For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Look, the economy is so tough for so many people. Food prices, rent spiking. If they've got retirement funds, those are evaporating. And even the issue of abortion, which did drive several special elections and that remarkable referendum result in Kansas. While there are millions of people for whom that will be the number one issue, I just think the economic headwinds are so tough. And Biden is, he just doesn't have the oomph as a candidate anymore. People don't really want him around, and he can't really make his case that I don't think the Democrats are in any better place. And I would also say, in this country and in other countries, polls are broken, right? It is clear that lots of people on the right just don't answer anymore. They were worse in 2020 than they were in 2016. And so you look at those polls, it's close. If it's close, it's a Republican win.
And that's what they're allowing to be said on the liberal news networks, Chris Arps. That's yeah. Terry Moran on ABC's Powerhouse Roundtable from this past Sunday.
And that's why our guest, Robert Cahaly from the Trafalgar Group, why his polling firm is so successful, because he has found a way to get people that don't normally want to answer polls, namely Republicans and conservatives, to trust him and to answer his polls, and that's why they are much more accurate. But I agree with Terry Moran there. I think a lot of the polling is not showing the disaffected Democrats and those voters, like here in St. Louis City and St. Louis County, that I believe are going to vote for Mon Navani and Andrew Jones.
I love that topic is now a national topic, and I feel like they all listen to the Tim Jones and Chris Arps show.
They do.
When we first talked about that weeks, if not months ago, I feel like we were at the tip of the spear on calling that out, and it seems like everything's heading in the right direction. Now, weird things can happen in the next 3 weeks, but right now, Chris, it seems that, you know, reproductive justice and calling everyone a racist is not what people are going to vote on this year. It's what is facing them every single day when they look at their 401ks, they look at their bank accounts, and they look at their paycheck stubs.
Yeah, and people were right that forecasted this during the summer when this decision came down, that yes, people are going to be very motivated. We're going to be very excited in the few days, weeks after this announcement came down. But you got 3 or 4 months to keep that white hot flame of enthusiasm going. And it's just not happening, especially when inflation is getting worse. And that's who we're going to talk with our next guest.
That's right. Let's drill down into that. By the way, folks, welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arps show here at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. It is 5:09 Central Daylight Time here in the Heartland. We're going to bring in our next guest. As Chris mentioned, his name is Thomas Savage. He is at the Center for State Fiscal Reform. He's the research director there at the American Legislative Exchange Council. Thomas, welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show. Great having you on today, my friend.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. Long-time listener, first-time guest today.
Great, thanks.
We appreciate that very much. So, Thomas, you have been really watching these metrics, and you could probably tell us how bad they really are. But it seems that, you know, this does not get the proper – this is not getting the proper play it should really deserve, right, Thomas? Because these are some metrics that I don't know if you probably haven't seen in your lifetime. I know you're a little younger than Chris and I, that most Americans have not experienced the pain of this. This is really severe economic stress, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, with the latest round of data from the Consumer Price Index, you know, all items across the board have increased in price by 8.2% since last year. Food prices alone have gone up 11%, and energy prices alone have gone up nearly 20% since last year. But, you know, it's Americans don't need a government report to tell them this. They see it at the grocery store. They're seeing it at the gas pump, and they're seeing how little their paycheck can buy compared to just a few years ago. And of course, at the end of the day, the problem is government, and the solution is getting government out of the way.
Thomas, I know you don't do politics, but I want to ask you a sort of a political question. Can you think of a worse visual for the president of the United States when we're dealing with 40-year record high inflation to be pictured eating an ice cream cone with $200 Ray-Ban sunglasses on with $20 in his hand to pay for it with a $2,000 or $3,000 watch on his other hand or arm? Could you think of a worse visual in this time?
That's a tough one. That's that's definitely in the not top ten. That is, yeah, you can't think of anything worse there, especially with you know, a lot of these, you know, the ironically named Inflation Reduction Act, mm-hmm. it's sort of like having a big guy named Tiny. It's an ironic name because the Inflation Reduction Act has made inflation much worse. It's, you know, it's a Trojan horse for a wish list of policies, and it's got everything from higher taxes on businesses, price controls for healthcare and pharmaceuticals, and higher taxes on energy producers, and of course, you know, hiring more IRS agents to harass Americans. It's, you know, it's not going to help this.
Mm-hmm. Speaking to Thomas Savage of the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC.org. Thomas, following up on that incredibly horrible visual that Joe Biden presented that Chris mentioned there, around that same time that visual was occurring, he followed it up with a ridiculous statement that the economy is just so hot, and if there's inflation out there, well, the rest of the world is dealing with, you know, the rest of the world is dealing with that, kind of acting like, you know, that we're reactive here. But Thomas, isn't it true that, you know, as the U.S. goes, so goes the rest of the world, not the other way around? It seems like everything Democrats talk about, it's always in this reactive stage, leadership from behind, nothing America does on the international stage makes a difference. But Thomas, once again, wasn't he trying to divert from the fact that, as most economists say, the trillions of dollars of U.S. spending very likely put us in the place we are now?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, part of that, too, of course, I you know, I got to quote Milton Friedman here. Inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon, and it can be produced only by a more rapid increase in the quantity of money than an output. Now, with that in mind, as you mentioned, this massive spending, the federal government's rampant spending has been enabled by the Federal Reserve. And so, with, you know, since for the past 3 years, they've financed the largest spending increase since World War II with debt, and the Federal Reserve has been happy to buy that debt with newly printed money, and that's dramatically increased the money supply. And so, you know, really, it's instead of enabling government spending or, you know, trying to get involved in climate risks, the Federal Reserve needs to get back to monetary policy and to help tame inflation.
Jason, the highest inflation rate in 40 years hurts people the most, that those that are low income and those who are on fixed income, like our seniors. The government announced, I think about a week ago, that seniors are going to get the highest raise they've had in 40 years, 8.7% raise. Talk about how that helps or doesn't help our senior citizens.
You know, that, you know, it could possibly help it, and it'll help, and it depends on the trend that inflation goes. We also see that a lot with public pensions as well, where people will get cost of living increases. Unfortunately, is the case with public pensions, you know, inflation beat out the cost of living increase, so they're still technically taking a pay cut. And, you know, for now, it will help adjust incomes for inflation, but if the inflation news keeps getting worse and, you know, we're still seeing these price increases, it could be the case where, you know, rising prices beat out, you know, these cost of living adjustments, and seniors and people in low income could still end up taking a pay cut after adjusting for inflation.
Speaking to Thomas Savage of the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC.org. You know, Thomas, as the federal government continues with all of this reckless spending, with this damaging taxation, with this misguided energy policy, and so on and so forth, I know you all at ALEC work very closely with state leaders all across the country, and, you know, they're quietly the unsung heroes throughout all of this, trying to keep their state budgets balanced, trying to look for innovative ways to cut taxes and help their citizens. You know, are there some, so, you know, I guess the state governments, they can only do so much when they're dealing with the federal government, its reckless policies, and the Federal Reserve. But are you seeing some innovative solutions in the states? Are some states providing some relief throughout these difficult times?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one thing we're happy to see at ALEC. And, you know, as you mentioned, state leaders really don't have control over what the Federal Reserve or what, you know, the federal government will do. But as I mentioned in that Milton Friedman quote before, you know, there's two factors to that: quantity of money and output. They can help out, and they're helping output grow and hopefully eventually outpace the growth in the quantity of money by doing things like, you know, the state flat tax revolution. Arizona, Georgia, Iowa, and Mississippi transition from a progressive tax system to a flat tax. And what that means is Americans get to keep more of their hard-earned money instead of being dinged for earning a higher income. State leaders can also enact regulatory reforms and occupational licensing reforms that really remove those harmful barriers to starting a business and allow Americans to get back to work. And also, I'd love to make a plug for the latest edition of the ALEC Energy Affordability Report out right now on ALEC.org. And it outlines how energy policy based in free market principles and innovation can help make energy more affordable for Americans. So, you know, those are some of the ways that state leaders really have taken the charge. And while there's all this mismanagement in Washington, state leaders really, as you said, are the unsung heroes here. And these sound policy reforms are really going to be the thing that helps Americans at the end of the day. And even when things in Washington are so crazy, these policy reforms are going to be the thing that helps out everyday Americans and help Americans, you know, make ends meet.
Thomas, not asking you to give investment advice, of course, but what can the average American and local and state governments do to help Americans deal with this 40-year high inflation rate we're experiencing right now?
Sure. Oh, if you're not already in a flat tax state, I would say, you know, especially for state leaders, this one's for state leaders. I would say, you know, for state leaders, look to changing the tax system to a flat tax, because then, you know, because under inflation, you know, people may, if they're fortunate, they may get raises to adjust their salary for inflation, but they'll still get thrown into a higher tax bracket and lose all that money to taxes. And, you know, at the same time, their paycheck is buying less and less. So the first and foremost, you want families to be able to keep as much hard-earned money as possible so that they can make ends meet. And I'd say that is one of the most important things right there. And many states, we have 9 states right now that have a flat tax system, that going into 2022, there were 9 states. In addition, we've added Arizona, Georgia, Iowa, and Mississippi to those states that changed from progressive tax to that flat tax. And that's helping millions of Americans right there. And in addition, I also recommend checking out richstatespoorstates.org for further recommendations on how to really get into the weeds and how sound tax policy reform can really help, you know, foster economic growth in your state and to help Americans keep more of what they earn and encourage investment and make your state the place people want to move to.
Thomas, a friend of mine gave me that book recently.
Oh, it's a great one. I can't recommend it enough.
Some guy named Jonathan was in our studios a couple weeks ago, and he may have left some stuff behind. Yeah,
I think. Well, I encourage you to read it. Share it with friends and family. Rich States, Poor States is a great book that makes a great stocking stuffer. 100 some odd days, shopping days left until Christmas. So if you're looking for gift ideas.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Thomas Savage at the Center for State Fiscal Reform. He's the research director there under the ALEC umbrella, ALEC.org, where you can find everything that Thomas just referenced today. Thomas, it was great having you on today. Thanks for all of the wisdom and the wit, and we'd love to have you back again soon sometime.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks very much, guys. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm. You too as well. All righty. There we go. That was great. That was great indeed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually people sitting at home may be wondering, oh, that's the last thing I want to read. Chris, it's actually for us non-economists, mm-hmm. it's a really easy read, and it's got a lot of great pictures in it as well.
It was in my office, and I saw it actually this morning, and I was like, I need to read this. Mm-hmm. Seriously, I did. I saw it, and I was like, I've been meaning to look at this.
You know, we need to have, we'll have Thomas or Jonathan Williams back on again, mm-hmm. because something I meant to ask and forgot. In that Rich States, Poor States, for 14 years running, Utah always comes out number one. And I want to know what's the secret sauce. You know, they just seem to always, and again, the left completely ignores Utah, of course, because it's run by Republicans, but they do great. They have a low cost of living. They don't have a zero tax, but they're heading that way. And, man, people are flooding in there from, unfortunately, from California, of course.
Could that be why Oregon, those counties in Oregon,
yes,
want to join?
Yes,
Utah?
They do. Yes. Oh,
they have a very competitive Senate race in Oregon. The incumbent, Mike Lee, very conservative gentleman who you would think would be ahead, is running against Evan McMullen. If you remember him, Tim, he ran as a independent Republican candidate against Donald Trump in that primary in Utah. I think he got like 30% of the vote. But he is on the heels of Evan McMullen or of Mike Lee. And the Democrats didn't field a candidate. And McMullen has said that if he is elected, he will not caucus with the Democrats or the Republicans.
It's going to be his own party.
So that's how he is. That's how he's campaigning.
Maybe he can get together with Bernie Sanders, the other independent.
Yeah, but Mike Lee's only like 3 points ahead.
That's weird. We'll see what happens there. That'll be one interesting to keep an eye on. See if the pollsters are right or wrong on that. Indeed. All right. When we come back, Speaker Stump Speech, I didn't tease this earlier. Shame on me. Let me tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, I found a fascinating article at Zero Hedge, which is a great little website that the left loves to hate. And Stephen Moore, our good friend of this station, who's on here quite a bit, wrote about the 7 ways America's being destroyed. I'm going to go through those and then ask
only
you.
Only 7?
Well, for now. For now. We probably could have done 77. But the biggest question is, are these accidental or intentional? We'll let you be the judge when we come back and tell you what is at the stump speech today here at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The people in the liberal press need to demand that your candidate, the one you guys are backing in the liberal press, show up and debate. The people of Arizona deserve this. I promise her, Katie, I promise you, you can write the questions for me. I promise you I won't yell, Katie. I promise you I won't interrupt you. And if you want to have an emotional support animal there as well, I will agree to that. But show up like a grown-up and debate. We have serious issues facing this great state of ours. We've got the narco-terrorists controlling our border right now. How in the heck are you going to go up against them if you're afraid to debate me here at PBS? How in the heck are you going to go up against Gavin Newsom when he's stealing our water and fight back there, and when they're taking our energy? How in the heck are you going to fight for companies to come to Arizona when you have to go up against people like great governors, like Governor Abbott and Governor Kristi Noem and Governor Ron DeSantis? Arizona will lose if Katie Hobbs is elected.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't play chess, but I think that could be construed as a checkmate.
That was a shredding of your opponent, right, Chris? That was like they're on the ropes and you just beat the living tar out of them until the refs pull you off.
Yeah, it's one of those, really, how do you respond to that? She straight called you out, and you really don't have a good response. And, you know, I said this, I think, on our show, and I think I said it on Newsmax last week, that it angers me that these candidates in Georgia and Pennsylvania around the country don't want to debate, or they're having these debates late in the cycle. And the voters deserve better than
absolutely
that. The voters deserve better than to make their minds up on commercials and social media ads. That's how you're supposed to determine who to vote for.
And look, we're over here, what, 1,800, how many miles are we from Arizona? 1,800 miles, you know, halfway across the country. And people may be wondering, well, why should we care about Kerry Lake? Well, because I think Kerry Lake's the future, one of the futures of the Republican Party. And if you weren't, if we didn't play Kerry Lake and people in Missouri just listened to random bits and pieces of what they heard snatched out of the ethosphere, they would think Kerry Lake had 5 horns sticking out of her head and was some kind of radical extremist hate monger. If you listen to, if you actually, because that's what the media has painted her as, if you actually listen to the woman, she's incredibly intelligent. She knows all the media's tricks because, as you've pointed out, she's been in their industry. And she makes a freaking darn lot of sense, Chris. That's why they're scared of her.
Look, Carrie Lake is a female Ron DeSantis. She knows how to play the media. She has been as one, as you said, and she's not afraid to fight back. And that's what a lot of people love about her and DeSantis and Trump. She calls them out and fights back.
It's all the aspects of Trump without maybe some of the things that turn some voters off. Not me, but others, you know, if you're worried about personality and such and so forth. Can you imagine a DeSantis-Lake ticket? I think that would be a 45-47 state sweep. I mean, you're never gonna get California, probably not New York, maybe not New Jersey or Connecticut, but you're gonna get just about everybody else with a ticket like that.
Well,
it's a no nonsense ticket.
I think you could call it no nonsense, a straight talk ticket, the whole gamut with that. I'd be excited about that.
You know,
and the thing is, Tim, and I know we're getting the corner, but the thing that really makes me upset about Carrie Lake is they try to paint her as this quote unquote election denier and this wild eyed crazy person, when all she has done, like many of us have questioned, is election laws being changed in the last 30 days of an election, not by the legislature, but by local election officials.
Yes.
She has questioned what we have seen in the videos where people are dropping off ballots at midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning in different places. She's questioning that. And because of that, you're an election denier, a crazy person.
Ballot harvesting is illegal in 22 states. There's actually laws on the books. So then you got to ask yourselves, well, why is it illegal? And then why do some big blue states, where a lot of questionable activity occurred in the 2020 election, why do they allow ballot harvesting? Like, shouldn't we be able to ask, well, I wonder if the ballot harvesting that was done in the state of Georgia before they changed their laws there, do you think maybe that had something to do with the election results on election night? Yeah. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But to your point, we don't even get to ask the question. We're called insurrectionists, we're called election deniers, and we're called the worst thing to hit America's shores since Pearl Harbor. Because, it's just ridiculous.
Because with these people, if you do not have video of somebody stuffing a ballot or you don't have direct proof of someone doing this, then they're saying you don't have any proof. These are unsubstantiated claims, even though a blind person, anyone with common sense, would say, hey, why are people dropping off ballots at 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning?
Yeah, the COVID crisis was the best thing that ever happened to the Democratic Party as far as the election results of 2020, because as you stated, and this is a discussion they don't want to have, there were laws that were changed that had to do with how you cast a ballot that have never been on the books or allowed in this country in the previous 230 plus years that were allowed in 2020.
Yeah, because of COVID.
Exactly. Josh Hawley, and there were other things, as you mentioned. Josh Hawley went to the Senate floor on January the 6th and gave a speech that has been completely forgotten because of the other shenanigans of that day. And he talked about what happened in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, the Supreme Court of that state literally changed the election laws that had been passed by the state legislature, which they had no right to do. And by the way, folks, you know what the follow-up to that was? There was a follow-up case months after November 2020 that reversed that decision and determined them to be unconstitutional actions. So you're telling me that unconstitutional actions occurred that had to do with Pennsylvania's voter laws, and we're not allowed to question them and question the results of the 2020 election?
Yeah, like I said, if you don't have direct proof, pictures, video of someone doing the illegal act, or if you can't prove that whatever allegations you are throwing, if you can't prove that would change the result of the election, then we don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, it's amazing that Hillary Clinton basically got to retract her concession speech and question Donald Trump's legitimacy for 4 years. Stacey Abrams, it takes her nearly 4 years to finally concede that she did lose 4 years ago in Georgia, and we can't ask simple questions about 2020. It's really amazing, the double standard.
And that's a joke, and she talked about that on her campaign, where she says, well, when I gave my concession speech at the beginning, I conceded to the governor. Yeah, you may have conceded to the governor at the beginning of your speech, but you went on for 25 minutes questioning the legitimacy of it.
And then she monetized that, Chris, and became a millionaire
with an
industry that she created out of whole cloth.
Exactly. So you can't say one thing, you know, for the first two minutes of the speech, and then the rest of the 25 minutes you're saying it's illegitimate, and here's why.
Yeah, I think we have very surgically just pointed out in the last 7 minutes why there is a double standard in this country about certain speech that's allowed and certain speech that's not. And that should never be the case in a country like ours that has a First Amendment that is always and here's the thing. Folks on all sides of the political spectrum have prized that cherished amendment forever. And now we're being told by certain aspects of the government and big corporate America and big tech that only one particular point of view, the narrative of the regime, mm-hmm. is acceptable. Otherwise, you're a seditionist.
Yeah. And what's even more scary about it is people have that sentiment and they have the FBI and the Justice Department behind them as henchmen to enforce their rule and take away your First Amendment rights. That's even scarier.
I'm pretty sure the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show was just canceled on YouTube.
Yeah, we're all over YouTube.
There's no way we're on that channel anymore.
By the way, I'll toss one other thing in there.
Yeah, please do.
And reading the New York Times is not something that I normally do, although I do want to know what the enemy's saying. I don't know if you guys caught last Saturday's edition. On the front page, above the fold, they had a map of the U.S. and all the red dots on the map showed all these different areas where alleged election deniers were running for office.
Are you kidding me?
But they didn't call them election deniers. They were called election skeptics.
Oh, skeptics.
Oh, so that's the new, is that the new buzzword?
That's what I'm wondering. Mm. Yeah.
Which is worse, deniers or skeptics, do you think?
I think deniers is probably, I think that skeptics kind of softens it a little bit and it may open the door for more folks to.
Depends on what's on your file in the FBI.
He's probably right.
That's right. I'll check my back door when I get home.
maybe don't go in the front door, for sure.
Right.
Have someone else start your car, too.
Yeah.
All right, well, on that happy note, let's now talk about the seven ways America's being destroyed.
Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
See, that's another reason we need communism.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
So before I read you the seven ways America is being destroyed, as per Stephen Moore, who is one of the best economists in the land, if you want to know truth bombs, and why he believes that it's being done intentionally. So before you think, you know, that once again, I'm an extremist and I am not following the narrative of the regime and that I'm just making up all of this out of thin air and I'm a conspiracy theorist and, you know, I must follow in the footsteps of my uncle Alex Jones and so on and so forth. Let me give you some facts first to kind of set this up and to prove my point. You can look all these up. And a lot of you, when I say these numbers, you're going to be like, well, yep, I'm aware of that. Yep, that's probably true. Yep, really hard to deny that. As Chris said, you know, there comes to be a point where you just can't trust their lying eyes. So this, I'm going to read you a series of numbers that existed in January of 2021 as Donald Trump was leaving office versus what those numbers are today, 20 months later, not even 2 years. Mm. Look how fast you can destroy a railroad in 20 months. Inflation. Inflation in January 2021. Everybody knows it was really low, right? Do you remember how low it was? 1.4%. 1.4%. Now, 8.3%. Gas prices. The average national wage of gas prices, the rate of gas prices, this is taking into context New York, California, and all the cheaper states in between. $2.39 a gallon. We are well over $3.75 nationwide on the average. Interest rates for mortgages, 30-year mortgage. Back in January 2021, if you were smart enough to get one before Joe Biden took office, you would have paid around 2.65%, around 2.5%. Now, it's over 7, and I heard an economist today say, don't be surprised if we hit 8 by January.
Ouch.
Yeah. Average rental prices. Everybody hears about rent going up, right?
Yeah.
Average rental rate, $1,600 a month. Now, it's over $2,000 a month. Where are Americans getting an extra $6,000 to pay the rent? The NASDAQ. Well, the NASDAQ in January 2021, you know, with all the big growth tech stocks, kind of shows you where your country's going. It's kind of a leading indicator of research, development, and growth. It was well over 13,000 points, 13,342. It's now below 11. It has fallen well over 2,500 points in 20 months. Groceries. The annual year-over-year inflationary rate for groceries at the grocery store, 3.7%. Now, check this out. It's nearly gone up five times, over 13.5%. Yep, that's what you're paying at the grocery store. Electricity, it's even worse as we head into winter. Winter's coming. Electricity was year-over-year 1.5% under Donald Trump. Now, it's 15.8%. How are people affording gas, rent, groceries, and electricity? On top of all of that, something that Joe Biden was able to say six, seven, 8 months ago is not able to say now. Wages, when factoring in inflation under Donald Trump, they were increasing at an average rate of 4% a year. Now they are decreasing because of inflation at 2.8%. So any of those wage increases you got, they're being completely chewed up and spit out by 8.5% inflation. Now, that's what's going on. So do you have any doubt that America is under threat and harm right now? Here are the seven reasons Stephen Moore believes that America is being destroyed. Well, first thing you do, you destroy its finances. I think we've just proven that point. Number two, you attempt to destroy its currency. That has definitely been under attack. Third, well, this started on day one. Third is you would destroy its energy supply. What was the first thing Joe Biden did? He signed an executive order ending the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have provided us a bunch of new energy from one of our partners, one of our friends. Canada, not Iran, not Venezuela, not North Korea, not China, and not Russia. Pipelines of energy from Canada was ended on day one. The fourth thing you would do, you would provide more money to your enemies. Yeah, why do you think we're now paying China, Russia, Iran, and Venezuela for all sorts of things? And in addition to signing a new Iranian nuclear deal, which Jim Carafano and Jim Talent and all the other Jims that we have on say that would be the worst thing that you would do in today's world. The fifth thing you would do is divide the nation. We have never been more divided. This was the party that said they were going to bring everybody together. We were all going to sing Kumbaya. This was going to be the great unifying, uniting. Americans think, you know, the right track, wrong track numbers. We're down to 25%. I'd love to meet those people who think America's still on the right track, but there's 25% of them. Nearly 70% of Americans believe we're on the wrong track, and the rest of them simply don't care. I guess they've given up. Sixth way you would destroy a nation would be to destroy the stock market and people's lifetime savings. We had a new story this week. People's 401ks are down on average over 25%. In real numbers, the average median on that is over $30,000 per American of losses. Seventh, Chris, you're clairvoyant. You just mentioned this. Mm-hmm. You would weaponize government agencies and seek to imprison or punish your political enemies. Mm. Who wants to deny that Merrick Garland, the DOJ, and the FBI are treating Hunter Biden very differently than they are parents who dare to show up at school boards and express their chagrin at transgender cultish wokeism, weird books in their libraries, and sexual experimentation on your child? All of this has been done pursuant to law changes, regulations, and executive orders. Those all require intent. I think it's hard to deny at this point as we approach 3 weeks before a midterm election that America is being destroyed 7 ways from Sunday, and maybe probably a lot more. And it's all being done on purpose. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, other than they think they're going to create some magical new world order in their own image and likeness. And I don't like what we're seeing in the mirror. And that's the stump speech for today.
Yeah, and you see that destroying of America from within. You see it that from the kindergarten through high school, they're trying to indoctrinate and sexualize our children. Then when we send them to college, they're indoctrinated with that leftist philosophy. And we see now when we see polls being done that so many of the Gen Y and Gen Z support socialism, think it's the greatest thing in the world, and we should have it. Mm-hmm. That's how you destroy a country from within, when you have the young people believing in communist socialism.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, indeed. All right, well, we're going to take a break here. Maybe we'll try to liven things up a little bit when we come back. We'll have a few minutes left. If you'd like to call us, we'd be happy to speak with you all. 314-912-1019, 314-912-1019. Chris, Stelle and me, or I?
And I will be back.
And I will be back. That's right. Look at this. I was an English literature major. I was a literature major, not a grammar major. So there you go. Right. That's my defense.
I've weaponized the grammar police.
Yeah, yes, you have. That's all right. Someone's got to keep me in order. We'll be back right after this at 101.9 941 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
That's too good. That's too good there.
I thought folks were booing you guys.
No. Jill Biden. We didn't talk about that yesterday, Chris. Jill Biden shows up at a Philadelphia Eagles game, the city of brotherly love, and she got no love in Philly this past weekend.
You know, Philly is hard when during a Dallas Cowboy game in the 90s, the great Michael Irvin got hurt. And the fans actually booed him while they carted him off on a stretcher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Philly's fans, or Philadelphia Eagles fans, booed Santa Claus. That's hardcore they are.
Yeah, and if you're Dr. Oz, you got to be thinking, if the Bidens are getting booed right in the middle of Philadelphia, which is a very – now, I'm sure people come from all over to go to Philly games. But, you know, Philadelphia, a deep blue urban city, if the Bidens are getting booed there – then, you know, there's probably a chance for everybody everywhere who's running as a Republican this year. So.
Exactly.
Interesting. And man, it must be really bad. I mean, I could see if it was Joe Biden. You know, I don't know. It's just, Jill Biden, she's just kind of there, you know, so.
And I actually saw something the other day where she had a much, and you'd expect it, of course, she had a much higher approval rating than Joe Biden, and that many of these campaigns that didn't want Joe Biden coming to campaign for them, they did want Jill to campaign because she's much more popular, but apparently not in Philadelphia.
How bad is it when your own party wants you nowhere near them? Even people that have voted with Joe Biden and what he's wanted them to do 100% of the time, they don't want him anywhere near them on the campaign trail. It's that bad.
It's that bad, but they'll spin it and say, hey, we'll do whatever we need to do to win, and if that calls for the president not campaigning and not being there, that's fine. We need to have control of Congress. So that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. That's how they'll spin it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Philadelphia, Stelle was commenting with me in the break that few, if anyone, had Philadelphia Phillies versus San Diego Padres on their NLCS bingo card at the beginning of the year. What a bizarre series that is. And remember that little tidbit I gave you all from Morning Brew last week? Every time the Phillies have a really good championship team, the recession is right there along with them. So we need Sandy. I don't really care about either one of these teams, but I think we need San Diego to beat Philly in this NLCS if we're all going to survive.
Otherwise, we're going to have Elton John writing Philadelphia Recession instead of Philadelphia Freedom.
That's right.
Man.
That's right, indeed.
Chrissy. Katie wouldn't get that joke.
No, she wouldn't. She would not.
You know, she's like, huh? What? Yeah.
When was that?
Philadelphia what? Freedom?
Mm-hmm. Chris, I saw that, speaking of the darn Eagles, they beat the Cowboys, and I saw a story today that Dak Prescott is expected perhaps back this next weekend from his thumb injury.
I mean, you're always encouraged when your starter, who's, you know, had some pretty good seasons last few seasons, comes back, but I've said this for many years now, and I even said this about Romo. I don't think Romo or Dak are the quarterbacks that are going to take Dallas to a championship. They're good quarterbacks, but they haven't proven to me that they can win the big game when you need to win the big game.
They
haven't done that yet.
Yeah, they don't seem to have the pizzazz of some of the Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Yeah. They're good. I mean, they're elite. They're elite quarterbacks, but there seems to be something missing.
Look, back in the day when you had Montana and you had Staubach and you had Elway and quarterbacks like that, I don't care if there was 1 second left on the clock. As long as they were out there on the field, you knew that that team had some type of chance. I never felt that with Romo or Dak.
Right, right. and in the modern day, like when Tom Brady takes the field, and well, especially when he was with the Patriots, they seem to be a complete package. I remember there was that one Super Bowl where they were way down at halftime, way down.
Yeah.
I think they may have been playing Tampa Bay. I can't remember the exact Super Bowl. And everyone was like, Super Bowl's over. I'm like, they were down a lot.
I think it was a Texan. What was that? It was a team that choked really bad. Yeah. I remember that.
And Brady came back in the second half and marched down the field like three touchdowns in a row. And they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, greatest comeback in Super Bowl.
One of the best ever.
And really, it was like that with Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner, same thing. Yeah. Yep.
You know, anytime Kurt was on the field, you felt as though somehow they would score.
And that's a very rare thing with a quarterback. Not all quarterbacks have that. You have quarterbacks that are good, and they may, you know, bring the team back 50% of the time. But there's those certain quarterbacks that they get on the field, it's like they're coming back. They're going to win. And Dak and Romo just aren't there.
They didn't quite. There's a little bit something missing, you know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. The Eagles obviously keep rolling this year. That is for sure. And the Chiefs, you know, Mahomes has that. You know, Mahomes has that pizzazz, that magic that you're like, all right, if that guy's on the field, there's a good chance they may score.
And the thing with Mahomes, like these other quarterbacks. Look, you knew that that the team always had a good chance because they were good with clock management. They knew the system. They knew their players. They could just execute. With Mahomes, he can do that as well, but just the things that he can do on the football field, no other quarterback can do as ever done. I mean, some of the throws that he makes and the angles and the plays that he makes, it's like, oh my God. I said that when I was watching the last game. Becky's like, what's the matter? I'm like, this boy's clowning. I mean, look at these plays he's making.
On the run. Helps him. Throws on the run. Yeah.
You got that comeback thing like quarterbacks have, and you can make spectacular plays like him, and he's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He really is. So, I was going to ask Stell about, what do we got? Minute left. Mm-hmm. Stell, you said you like hockey? You like hockey,
yes.
Right? But you're a Blackhawks fan?
Yes.
But you do like the Blues, right?
I like the Blues.
Stell loves the Chicago teams, man. I got to give it to you.
So, you know, I don't know what it is with the Blues schedule this year. So, like, several hockey teams have played like 3 and 4 games already. The Blues have had their home opener, and that's been
it. That's it.
And their next game isn't until tomorrow. I'm like, are they gonna play a? You know what though?
Yeah.
What's weird is usually they don't play hockey games back to back. They've got a couple back to back games this month, and man, I actually played in an adult men's league for a few years. It was nothing fancy. I mean, it was a fun way to get out with some friends and skate and all that. It is one of the most exhausting sports on the planet. Mm-hmm. We would come off the ice at the end of those games. We'd be soaked all the way through. And we're skating on ice, you know, and it's cold. Mm-hmm. But it's an exhausting thing. So that's why generally they take a day off versus in baseball and other sports. And, well, like in football, you get the crap beat out of you every week. You need a week off.
Yeah, you need a week to recover.
Yeah. All right, we're going to let you all recover in the break here. And then when we come back for our 6 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to David Stokes about land banks. Boy, I think David Stokes loves to loathe them. We'll break all that down with him when Chris, Stell, and I return here on the Tim Jones and Chris Sarp Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Out of luck.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.